The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Sports, sports,
sports,
sports.
So they just sit there and talk about sports?
Yeah, we can break down every minute of that Luno interview or that Cowboys game. Or we can just have some fun. It's a Tuesday on the Blitz.
Shall we begin?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on, you magnificent leapers, for a Tuesday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe. With me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, Chocolate Braveheart, Aaron Rabel, the Voldemort. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN's your number. 713-780-3776. You can also get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. Send a message. Aaron will read it. Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. At AJ is the real. At Aaron is Blitz. At Degenerates 975. You can text the show. You know the number for that. You can watch us on Twitch. Twitch.tv/ESPN975. And it's a Tuesday when usually everybody's in a horrible mood. I don't care. I'm in a good mood. We're going to have some fun today. 100% guarantee.
Lock it in?
Yeah.
All right.
I did want to respond to an email I got today, though, that was complaining that I
don't respond to emails. I just I read them and I read the first couple sentences and I say, good work. And then I just send it. That's what me and Jeff Luno do. Yeah, we have that in common.
That's well,
never finish reading an email. You might learn some bad stuff about your guys if you do that. So instead, when they tell, like, if there's a real long email where they might be telling you bad stuff, read the header and just say, nice job. Send.
I like that plan.
That's what I do. That's what I've been doing for years. Because
they could be saying something at the bottom like, hey, it's important that you know that one of your coworkers is a pedo. You know, maybe.
Nice job. And then you might be saying, nice job. Like, you know, like.
Hey, he changed his name from Pat D. Stat. Nice job. Yeah. So I heard you talking about that a little bit before we get to mine. You can, for our listeners, if you could recap your thoughts on the whole Luno thing.
I feel a little bad for him because I don't feel like he's a liar. Like, I don't feel like he's saying, you know, I didn't know this was going on. Like, it's somehow going to save face for him. I don't believe that. I think that it's not entirely. And I thought this the whole time. If you'd ask me, would you expect the general manager of the baseball team to know that was going on? Like, what was going on in the clubhouse and in the video room and the dugout? I would say no. Would I expect the manager to know? Yes. The GM, Jeff Luno doesn't put on a uniform and go and sit in the dugout during games, okay? This guy's got a big boy office with a big boy suite.
Not anymore.
Well, he did. At the time, he had these things. And he put things together, and I'm sure he met on I'm guessing, probably a daily basis with A.J. Hinch. But it's not out of my, you know, out of my realm of possibility to think that he had no idea this was going on.
Listen, I said all along, he was the big loss in this thing. Managers can be replaced. The guy was the architect of the whole thing. And in my limited dealings with him, I've always liked him. But it's not ridiculous to think that, but I don't know that it's realistic to think that he didn't know something. I mean, his whole analytics team, I'm sure that's part of what they were doing.
Maybe so.
But regardless, and let's start with the important thing. I don't care. I mean,
yeah,
everybody's trying to do it. They just did it better than everybody else. I don't think he's evil in any way, shape, or form. And you're right. He shouldn't know everything that a guy does. But that interview was such a handy, basically, that's all it was. It was, hey, Jeff, what questions do you want me to ask you? And let me ask them so you can answer them the way you want. And I found it fairly useless. And from a media perspective, things like that always drive me nuts. But that doesn't mean... I mean, and obviously he wants to get a job and wants to get back into things.
Yeah.
And now's the time to do it. And, you know, so I mean, I don't have a problem with any of that. I don't think, I don't think he's the devil, and I never did. So even if he was, even if he did have knowledge of it, he shouldn't be getting punished any more than anybody else. And he's right. And yeah, and of course, first text, Luno has to know. Any other is the wrong answer.
Okay.
There's plenty of evidence saying he knew something from other people. Yes, there was a lot of stuff that came out afterwards, but let's keep in mind who did all the finger pointing. It was the players. Yeah, that they pointed the fingers at everybody else. Yeah, we cheated. Yeah, we cheated. And those guys got punished for it. So, I mean, yeah, you could say there is no other answer, but you don't know. Just like, I don't know. I don't know that he's telling the whole truth here. I don't particularly believe that he is. Don't particularly care. I mean, I think he's done his punishment, and somebody's going to get themselves a hell of a general manager.
I think so, too. What I do know is he was good at his job.
Absolutely.
He had success with the Cardinals. He had success here, unprecedented success. And he's a damn good GM. And I heard him talking about other sports and maybe being interested in that. That dude should be in baseball. I mean, he's helmed two successful franchises. It doesn't it makes perfect sense for him to be in baseball. And somebody's going to be smart enough to overlook it and get a good guy out of it. And I never liked the Astros firing him to begin with, but I also kind of understand that somebody had to take a fall for this.
Yeah.
In the eyes of the national media, someone had to fall. And like he said in that interview, wasn't going to be the players and it wasn't going to be Jim Crane.
Right.
That didn't leave a whole lot of people.
No. And I mean, basically it was going to come down on those two guys. And I to this day, don't know why you felt the need to fire him. I mean, other than, I'm going to distance myself from this. So it makes it look like I wasn't responsible for it. And I don't like the way Jim Crane's come out looking in this thing, because he has gotten a complete pass pretty much. And, you know, I don't know if he's telling the truth. I'm not, I don't really believe that he didn't know anything about it. But I also think that I wasn't there. I don't have the emails. I don't have the texts. And what I do know is that the players were a bunch of rats. And the owner ran from it as fast as he could. And two guys had to take the fall for it. And that's, you know, right or wrong. He's done his time. And I hope somebody hires him.
I do too.
I'd love to see the Rangers hire him and then just shove it up the Astros' butt for that. Because he'd build them into a better team.
I agree with that.
But, you know, I think, and so he asked, do you think other GMs will shy away from making trades with him? Why?
Why would you? Yeah.
Any guys think they can make their team better. If they think they're getting the better end of a trade, or if they think they're getting a good trade, they're going to trade with anybody. Why would somebody say, oh, I'm not dealing with you. Why would you do that? You're going to do what's best for your own team. So no, I don't think that at all. And I think, like I said, I've always liked the guy. I appreciate what he did. I hope Astros fans do. And, you know, does he deserve the benefit of the doubt? Maybe. But, you know, I also think it doesn't matter in the end. It doesn't affect anything. It all comes down to whether or not he can get another job. The only thing that irritated me was what a softball, awful interview that was. I mean, it really was.
I mean, it was obvious that they discussed all the questions before they were asked, and she had a list of questions, and they were going to come in the order that she gave. Like, it was obviously an interview that was pre-scripted. I hate to say that word, but it was. Like, Luno knew which questions were coming, and she knew which answer she was going to get, and they basically wrote the thing out. So I don't know. I mean, it didn't tell you a whole lot. Like, I didn't learn a whole lot. I will say this. He brought up the code breaker thing, and he kept bringing it up for some reason, even though...
Well, because that was the thing that was tied to him.
That's not illegal. That wasn't against the rules. Who cares? That's what's tied to you? Well, okay.
Yeah.
And then I didn't think the... I'll be honest, and maybe it's just me. I don't think the Taubman stuff... I know that he kind of took the fall for the Taubman thing in a way, for the organization. He took one for the team. But I don't think he did anything particularly wrong. Did it look good on the Astros? No. But, I mean, that's to me,
that would
Brendan
be,
Taubman's the one who looks like a dope.
You know, that would be if Aaron did something like that. Is that your fault?
No.
That's what I thought. All right. Quick break. It's a blitz. Wait, what are you laughing at? I was just using you as an example.
Let's not qualify that. I wouldn't be that dumb. I'm dumb, but I'm not that dumb.
I've seen you drunk. Yeah. Sometimes things come out.
I've never supported a woman beater.
All right, quick break. It's a blitz on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. So a little programming note. World Series Game 1 starts at 6:30 on 97.5. We will switch over to 92.5 for the last 30 minutes of the show. We'll be followed by Soccer Matters with the great Glenn Davis. That's his new name. And followed by Late Hits with Patrick Creighton and Jason Braddock. Texture says, all I ask is we actually treat them to the degree they cheated. It's hard to cheat worse than this in baseball. Please stop the third grade, I cheated, but they cheated too, child's argument. First off, I don't think you've ever heard that on this show.
No.
There are a lot of cheaters out there. They got caught. They deserve to get punished. And
but know, I'm just saying they're punishing the wrong people.
Yeah, and by the way, you can treat them however you want. All I ask, we actually treat them to the degree they cheat. Well, treat them however you want. Get on Twitter and be one of those guys who says, oh, they're cheaters. They
but
all deserve
the
to die.
None of the cheaters got punished.
Yeah, I get
this
that.
This is the thing. And that's what I hate the most is... You know, and I know for whatever reason, like the biggest, most important thing to Astro fan, and the reason they think, like Astros fans still feel like they're being punished because the national media doesn't like them and John Boy says bad thing, and like they're so beaten down by that's Astros fans' punishment, and they think that that's ongoing and it's not
fair. Right.
The reality is the Astros didn't really get punished. The Astros... Their GM and their head coach their manager got suspended for a year each. They got fined. That was the extent of their punishment.
Well, and they lost the draft pick. Don't forget that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And you know, the thing is, we talked about this at the time. Not having to pay a first round pick was essentially that okay, that's that fine.
Yep, there gone. It is.
But you know, I think how you respond to it's up to you. But what you can ask is that everybody else to respond to it the same way. And you know, I've been pretty clear about this from the beginning. I think the players are chicken shit little whoops. Whoa. Dump that.
Jeez, Fred, where are you?
Where'd that come from? Where'd that come from? Jeez. That's like the second time in 12 years I've done that.
Totally unprofessional.
Both times that word. Wow. I think they are little bleeps. I mean, there have been a couple times where the first two letters have come out, and then I've stopped. Yeah, that time, just boom, dumb. Oh, well.
Shame.
Yeah, it's on me. But, you know, they all got away with it, and if you want them punished, oh, well. I mean, what are you going to do? they took immunity. You know what? Sammy the Bull's not going to jail because he took immunity.
Yeah.
And ratted everybody out. So if you want to be mad at somebody, be mad at them. And I do think Jim Crane looks like garbage in this, too.
He does. And Jim Crane, I mean, because he basically did what Major League Baseball kind of punked him into doing.
Yeah. Oh, here's your sacrificial lambs. We're going to send the underbosses to prison. But the boss gets to stay in his mansion.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but having said all that, I mean, I don't believe for a second he didn't know something, but I don't think it was to the extent that he and Hinch should have been the only. Well, Hinch should have been punished. There's no question, because he admitted that he knew something was going on, and his big deal was to smash a camera allegedly. Don't do that again. How does that work?
I thought he smashed a television monitor.
It might have been on a television monitor. So, NASA Nerd asks, is there a separate app stream for 92.5? Does alternate programming always go to 97.5 only? We'll be on the stream, right? Because we
it'll flip over. AD was working on it where it'll click over right at 6:30.
Yep. This is a professional operation here sometimes.
Yeah, Tyler and I think 10 steps ahead, 5 steps too late.
Yeah, and we will be on the Twitch, too.
Yeah.
No,
we won't be on Twitch.
We don't have a camera over there.
Oh, no, we don't. Damn. All right. Well, we can be on the Twitch without us being on it, right?
I mean,
can you keep the chat going? Oh, we can't
because
do that.
Because then the audio will feed, and we can't feed the audio. Definitely.
All right, never mind. So it won't be on the Twitch either.
I mean, if one of y'all wants to download the app, you could probably broadcast from your phone.
No.
But
yeah, I'm not going to that much trouble. I mean, I just found out about this today. Now you're, now you're trying to get me to download something to an app.
Reading emails.
You know what I do when I look at those emails? I go on there and I see, okay, who's off? I see that part. Okay. And then I look and see where we're broadcasting from. That's it.
Well.
So I guess I'll start reading the whole email
that'd
now.
That'd be helpful.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I did read the top of this today. Moving strictly to 92.5 at 6:30.
Oh, hey, you know what I forgot to do yesterday? Give away that Black Bear Diner gift certificate.
Oh, yeah, you said you were going to.
I said I was going to, and I lied. So I'll do it now at 4:25. Does that seem fair, Aaron? Does that give people time?
Yeah.
4:25. Let's go with caller, I don't know, Fred Niner.
Niner sounds good
Niner,
to me.
Niner, caller number 9 will win $25 to Black Bear Diner. Locations in Spring, Katy, Sugarland, and what is it, Aaron? League City?
League City and apparently Beaumont, according to the text from yesterday.
That's right.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Love us some Mont. Is it next week we're in the Mont?
Next Friday.
Yeah. Can't wait. It's been a while. It's been a spell. So,
which we also need to have a plan for that because that'll be happy hour.
Yeah.
That you guys are all out there.
We may have to.
What we could do is, because it'll be Fred, Tyler, Josh, and I will be in Beaumont. So we may have you guys here and maybe on camera. And we'll be talking to you guys down the line. And we'll have, I'll have the mega wheel and things like that. But.
Yeah, we can do this.
We can maybe improvise. It's going to be tough.
I'm sure one of the bartenders out there at 500 would be happy to make you guys a concoction to try.
Oh, yeah. We'll figure something out.
Yeah.
We'll figure something. And we're going down there for a booze distributor. My guess is they'll make sure we've got plenty of booze.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure we can make it work. It's all good. 713-780-ESPN's your number. Boy, hell of a Cowboys game last night, huh?
Oh, well. Not for me. I will say that, I mean, the Cowboys were going to lose anyway, but the whole, this shows the importance of Dak. Yeah, like, I don't know that Dak could have saved that team. Dak wasn't fumbling the ball.
Well, yeah, Zeke fumbles twice. I mean, that's your best player on the field, just giving the ball away.
And that no call on the pass interference interception, that's an embarrassment to the league. That's probably... I mean, that's on the level of Saints-Rams NFC title game bad.
Yes, that was awful.
He literally shoved him to the ground and then went over and caught the ball, and there's just everybody staring at him. Like, that was the most obvious call.
There was that one that was bad, and then because I was here running the game watching it, they had another one. The game was already out of hand at that point, but I think it was CeeDee Lamb had caught 3 pass interferences on the same drive. 2 of them were in the end zone. And on the third one, they let Patrick Peterson just shove him down. They're like, all right, we're just not going to call this again. Well, it's a waste of time.
It was like a ticky-tack call on the Cowboys' pass interference in the end zone. Officiating was, again, none of these things would have saved the Cowboys. The Cowboys played like ass. You can't hold on to the ball. Their offensive line is so damaged. And it's sad because if fully healthy, they've got one of the best offensive lines in the league. Unfortunately, it's not even remotely healthy. It's been decimated.
Well, and that's the thing. You lost another one last night.
Yep.
Probably the best guy you had left. And, that's been the big issue. That and their defense is, I'll say this, AJ, their defense worse than the Texans.
Probably.
I mean, they can't stop anybody. and they're, you know, Dak was having some big game, big stat games because they'd get down and they'd have to throw the ball a bunch. But I really think that, I feel like, they're just so, it wasn't Andy Dalton's fault. Although that first pass, that's not the way you want to start the game. That was as bad a pass as you're going to be able to throw. But they're a real mess right now. And I think it all starts with the offensive line. That's what made them such a good team for the last several years, a competitive team, because you had a great offensive line and you had a great running back who didn't drop the ball all the time. How many fumbles is that for him this year? This isn't the first one he's had. I think in the Falcons game, he and Dak fumbled almost back to back, if I remember correctly.
And he's never been a fumbler, and now all of a sudden this season's been rough for him on that.
Yeah, so I mean, I don't know what to make of him. I really don't. That division, they're still in first in the division. The big problem though is I don't know what moves you can make, because the things you can't get right now are offensive linemen and really anything on defense that's going to help you. I mean, you can make a trade that helps you a little bit, but they got so many problems over there. I don't know, I don't know who you bring in that's going to help you fix that defense. And you just can't replace offensive linemen because there's not that many good ones in the league to begin with.
So 6 games into the season, Zeke has 4 fumbles. Last year he played 16 and had 3, and 2018 was his worst year. He had 6 over 15 games.
Yeah, that's you just can't. I mean, those are worse than interceptions in a lot of ways, because you don't expect your running back to ever fumble the football. So hopefully, the Razor X said, have you guys heard Jane Slater's report? The players are starting to turn on the coaching staff in Big D.
Yeah.
Are you shocked?
That's everywhere. When teams don't play well, it's a lot easier to point at coaches than it is to say, you know what, we kind of suck right now. So that's everywhere. That was here.
Yeah.
I mean, you saw it literally unfolded here when they started out 0-4. It was the team was basically revolting. Nobody was bitching about Bill O'Brien, at least publicly, on this team last year, because they were winning games.
No, but you started seeing the veiled shots, and then you started hearing the reports, of course, after O'Brien was gone about the actual shots.
Yep. But you didn't hear it publicly until they were losing.
Right. Right. That suddenly there might be problems there. All right, we're gonna take a very quick break. Please don't go anywhere. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and
92.5. ESPN 97.5. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. 713-780-ESPN's your number. If you want to get in, happy Tuesday. Hope you're having a good one. Some Jaguars news for you.
Oh, I can't wait.
Doug Marrone, really the handsomest coach in the NFL. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Okay.
And, it's not Cliff Kingsbury.
It's not Kyle Shanahan, no. Sean McVay.
No, none of those guys.
Not Mike Zimmer, who's got a super hot girlfriend.
Sean McVay has a super hot.
Not Mike Vrabel.
Yeah.
No, not Mike Vrabel.
None of those guys.
It's Doug Marrone.
Not Romeo Crennel.
Okay.
Whose name is literally Romeo.
I think
Belichick.
All right, all kidding aside, I do think Marrone has Crennel beat and Andy Reid.
Who would I rather?
That's such an awkward question, though.
They're so bulky that you're right. Those two are they're so big that like the thought of making love to them is maybe worse than making love to Doug Marrone.
Yeah, those guys are bed breakers. But basically, Marrone said that. They did not think of benching Gardner Minshew last week as he was struggling, but he says maybe in the future. I'd be naive not to say that's a possibility. That's up for any position, any play that we can do for ourselves to get better. But no, I didn't feel that way during the course of the game. What would be the point of pulling Gardner Minshew? Because you don't have a backup worth a damn.
Listen, it's obvious the reason why Gardner Minshew is the starting quarterback for this team this year and not Nick Foles is because the Jags had no interest in winning football matches this year. There's no way that you look at Nick Foles and you look at Gardner Minshew and go, you know what? I think our better long-term chance at success is with that guy with a mustache. There's no way they said that. So, and that's fine. We all knew that going into things, but let's not act like the Jags went into this season expecting to compete. They went into this season expecting to compete for the best draft pick. That's what they expected to compete for.
Yeah, and I think any question you might have had about that, when they jettison Leonard Fournette, when they trade Ngakoue, it's like, yeah, we're quitting, guys.
Yeah.
We're quitting. And Gardner's that guy.
They started it a year ago when they got rid of Jalen Ramsey. It was like, this has been a long time coming. It was set up for this year to be the year that they are really, really awful. Now, I don't think they saw the Jets coming. They're like, oh, damn it. What are they doing? I don't know. Are the Jets on the Jags schedule? Because if so.
Well, I don't see.
That's tank fest. I don't know who will win it.
I see almost no way the Jaguars finish with a worse record than the Jets. Because the record, the Jags are going to sneak out a win somewhere. I mean,
they are not.
They get to play the Texans again. So, and who knows what the Texans may look like. They may just decide to jettison the entire roster, not name Deshaun, have Deshaun come up with an injury, and it's A.J. McCarron the rest of the year.
The worst team the Jets have left to play is the Browns.
Really?
Yeah. They've got the Bills, Chiefs, Patriots, Chargers.
Patriots may not be as bad as we think, but okay. Chargers.
Where's that Patriots game?
Patriots is 3 weeks from now.
They've got a home and home.
Yeah.
Where's the Chargers game?
At L.A.
Okay, keep going.
They have the Dolphins at home. Then the Raiders go to New York.
Dolphins at home is winnable. Maybe. Relatively.
Boy, we're really stretching winnable here, aren't we?
Okay, keep going.
Then they go to Seattle. Then they go back to L.A. and play the Rams.
No.
Then the Browns go to New York.
Okay.
And then they play at the Patriots to end the season.
They're going
to
go 0-16.
What
would have to change for them not to go 0-16?
The entire roster?
No. I don't know. I don't have the exact results in front of me. I can tell you it's been a long-ass time since someone started a season 0-6 against the spread. It's almost impossible to do because by this time of
Vegas
year... Because
Vegas keeps moving the number up.
The Bills are 13.5-point road favorites coming off back-to-back losses, double-digit losses. The Bills are 13.5-point road favorites against the Jets. That's unprecedented. I mean... I'd have to do some research as to when the last time a team went 0-6 ATS to start the season. I would bet it never happens. Let's talk to Gary. Hello, Gare.
Hi, Fred. Hi, AJ.
Hi, Gary.
Hey, man. This is my first time calling you guys. I'm a big hockey guy. I'm a born and raised Bills fan. I'm 63 years old. And, AJ, hey, I respect. Sometimes you represent the Bills, when you mention their glory days. And I just hope it wasn't just a bandwagon thing where, how they're winning now. You know how these people are these days, but hey, it's none of my business. All I'm saying, hey, these last 2 days or last 2 games have been torture. It for me, it has been torture because I didn't expect this. And what I'm saying is, hey, our early schedule, hey, it wasn't what you want right now. I think we got a good team. I really do. We're right now, we're not a tier one team, but we're a tier two team. And, God, it's just, for me, it's frustrating. It really is. Because we're doing things that we never did. And if I'm not making excuses, but what I can say is, hey, we've been gassed the last 2 weeks, and I get that. But we lost Jordan Phillips. who was a big run-stopper. He signed a contract with Arizona. Star Lewitaley opted out. I get that. Terrell Edmonds battling through a shoulder injury. Hey, man, I'm not making excuses, but I will. You know, we're not as bad, and it just is. I wish both these games were at noon on Sunday, so national TV wouldn't see that.
Yeah.
Hey, and Fred, man, I'm a big Sabres fan, and I know you're a Maple Leafs fan. Hey, go Leafs, go! I love you guys' show, and thank you very much because you guys keep me laughing. Bye-bye.
All right, have a good one. I don't.
Jim Gruden.
I don't know. Maybe I don't know that I would be. I don't think I'm a bandwagon Bills fan. I was a Bills fan like when I was, I don't know, like 10 years old. I'm not as much of a Bills fan as I was in my younger days because I'm not a fan of anybody like I used to be. I've gotten to a point in my life where I've emotionally detached myself from all sports teams. I still hope I like for the Bills to do well. And I'm with you. The Bills aren't an A-level team. They're probably a B-ish level team. And when you make all these, you know, you talk about these injuries and off, every team has that. You know, the defensive line losses didn't make Josh Allen look like a trash can last night. I mean, that's...
Well, the Bills, what I think the Bills are, is kind of what the Texans were last year. You know, they were a step below the Chiefs and Ravens. With the potential to get there, and they never did.
I mean, that's what the Bills were in that same spot last year.
Pretty much. I mean, I think the difference here is you had more hopes for the Bills this year than you did the Texans going into the season. And, you know, the last two tests have not been good, but I still see a chance for them to get better. They need to get Allen where he's performing like he did against the bad teams. He needs to perform against the good teams.
Well, that's where they're like the Texans, because – the Texans have so many flaws. If Deshaun Watson just balls out, he can cover up a lot of their nonsense. Josh Allen's the same way. Josh Allen, the first 4 weeks of the season, was the best quarterback in the league, arguably. The last 2 weeks, he's not been. So when and they're not good enough on defense, they don't run the ball well enough, aside from Allen, to be a good enough team if he's not playing well. So, I mean, like many teams in the league, It's almost like the Seahawks, too, except the Seahawks obviously have a more consistent quarterback. There's a lot of flaws on that team, but Russell Wilson can cover up for a lot. If Russell Wilson comes out and plays a game like Josh Allen just did, the Seahawks aren't winning that game because they're not good enough around, like, besides him. Some of these teams are good enough where, like, the Ravens are good enough that if Lamar Jackson doesn't have the best game, because they're still in games.
Here's a little secret. He hasn't played all that well this
nope.
year.
Patrick Mahomes? I mean, he's been good. He hasn't been what he was last year, certainly, or the year before. So, but they're good enough that it can.
Yeah, suddenly they can run for 240-plus
yeah,
yards.
Yeah, they can win games. The Bills the Packers, the Seahawks, these are teams that if their quarterback play is not great, they're just not there. I mean, they're okay.
No, I think right. They're good, but they're not well. They're capable of beating lesser teams without great quarterback play. They're not capable of beating a team like the Chiefs or the way the Titans are playing right now. And that's not that doesn't mean you're garbage. It doesn't mean that you can't beat those teams. It just means if you're going to, you've got to get a better performance out of your quarterback. And I think the Bills will be fine moving forward. But there's some things they can clean up. But here's the one big difference, I think. Like, we talked about how tough the Texans' schedule was to start with. Does anybody ever talk about how tough the Chiefs' schedule was to start with?
Well, we certainly didn't.
Nobody does. You know why? Because they're good enough that it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's just like when the Patriots were good. It didn't matter that they had to play every good team. Chiefs had to play the Ravens.
I mean, the Chiefs got to play the Texans, too.
Yeah, but you were expecting them to at least be a playoff-caliber team at that point.
And the Chiefs also, like, I mean, I'm looking at their schedule now. They did play the Ravens. Is there another top-tier team that they played?
Well, I mean, we're sitting here talking about where the Bills belong. That's at Buffalo. Everybody said that was going to be their first loss.
I mean, the Raiders, maybe they're good.
The Raiders, I think, are, you know, they're kind of on that same level. I think they're a team that could make the playoffs.
The Patriots, I don't know if they're good. They're sub 500.
Well,
the Chargers.
The Patriots, I don't know. The Patriots without Cam Newton was not. I guess Newton was back for that game, right?
For the Chiefs game?
Yeah.
No, that was Brian Hoyer.
Yeah. So, okay, maybe not. But, I mean, the thing is, they're playing all the first place teams.
Yeah.
And I think their division is better than a lot of these divisions. And that's where you want to get. If you're the Bills, that's where you want to get. Because theoretically, if you're at that level, you don't lose both those games.
Agreed.
You lose one of them. Because even the best teams are going to lose. Well, I'm going to tell you how to win. And, guys, if you maybe ran your credit cards up a little bit when you were on the Rona break, well, how about this? You can turn those balances into one monthly payment at a lower fixed interest rate and start saving money with LightStream. LightStream offers credit card consolidation loans from 5.95% APR with AutoPay and excellent credit. The rate is fixed, so it never goes up over the life of the loan. The application is 100% online. You don't even have to leave your house to apply, and you can get a loan anywhere from $5,000 to $100,000, and there are absolutely no fees. Most of your credit cards are, what, 19%? And obviously, you could save hundreds or thousands with this if you've got good credit. You can get your funds even as soon as the day you apply. And LightStream believes that people with good credit deserve a better loan experience, and that's exactly what they deliver. Blitzers can save even more with an additional interest rate discount. The only way to get this discount is to go to LightStream.com/Fred. LightStream.com/Fred. Subject to credit approval. Rate includes 0.50% auto pay discount. Lowest rate requires excellent credit. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit LightStream.com/Fred for more information.
What the f*** you think? Yeah, silence is better. No, I'm not regular. No, I'm not regular. Ooh. No, I'm not regular. No, I'm not regular. Ooh. We're no regular. Ooh. We're no regular.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Eric says the Chiefs are the hard team people look at. I think, yeah, that's the team you look at your schedule and say, oh, bleep, they just won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I think the Ravens, too, though. The Ravens are a team you look at and say, hey, you know, I don't really want to play them because they tend to beat everybody's ass. But, yeah, I that's 449. I'm going to give that one about a 3. It was
sorry.
It was like you just didn't commit to it. It was like you knew it was coming.
I've tried to hold back lately. And I'm
why are you holding back lately?
Well, I haven't been drinking as many energy drinks. You know, I'm not eating burgers and pizza for lunch like I used to.
Yeah,
so
you need to get to be back to being a fat ass because it's hurting the show, AJ.
Sorry.
Texter says crazy thought to jump start the rebuild in Houston, trade Watson, stop there, no trade clause. So not a crazy thought.
Lots of things I'm willing to trade away.
Hey, I'd be open to that, but no trade clause, part of his new deal. Brought that up yesterday.
If you wanted to trade him, you should have traded him before you re-signed him.
Well, you know, if I had been GM, you'd still have DeAndre Hopkins. Watson would still be playing on his rookie deal. And let's see, who would not be getting paid? Nick Martin, Zach Cunningham, Whitney Merciless, Bernard McKinney.
Kamie Fairbairn!
The bleeping kicker would not be getting paid.
You would have had a much better deal worked out with Tunsil before you would have traded for him.
Yep. And I wouldn't have minded making that deal, but I'd have him signed.
Yep.
But, you know, I'm not GM. I'm just a guy who sits here and drinks every night and talks to his dog all day. So what the hell do I know? What do I know about running an NFL franchise?
What do you know? Not a damn thing.
I mean, I did win a couple Super Bowls with the Texans on Madden, which makes me qualified, as well as it does about 2 million listeners out there. So, yeah. 713-780-ESPN's the number. 713-780-3776. Heartthrob says, interested to see how things go with Miami now that Tua is starting. Is Tua starting?
They announced it today.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Really, I don't know if the Dolphins were like, hey, we're winning too many games here.
Yeah.
Or Tua's just looked that great in practice. I don't know, but the Dolphins are 3-3. And in a year where an extra team's making the playoffs now.
In these trying times.
They're in, I mean, they're not, I mean, they're less than a game out of a playoff spot.
You don't need to tank if you're Miami because you've got the Texans doing it for you.
The Texans are tanking for you.
They're doing great.
Schefter also said because they're on the bye this week, they saw it as an opportunity. Obviously, he's proven himself in practice too, but this gives him 2 full weeks to prepare for their next opponent.
So there's two ways I would look at that. There's if I were gonna start Tua, I would have started him last week against the Jets. There's no better confidence builder than playing against the Jets. That would have been the best move.
Yeah.
But I guess the bye is probably the next best thing.
Kind of feel for Fitzy, though. I mean, all he's done is lead him to a 3-3 record.
But I think Fitzpatrick knew the deal all along, you know? And these guys, you always feel bad. Like, Tyrod Taylor, I feel bad for him going out the way he did with the Chargers. Like, it sucks that the medical staff collapsed your lung and now you lose your starting job. Tyrod Taylor knew he wasn't the long-term answer at starting quarterback for the Chargers. Ryan Fitzpatrick was fully aware the Chargers or the Dolphins took Tua with the 5th pick. They didn't do that for fun. They knew that that's the guy that they wanted to be their quarterback. Ryan Fitzpatrick knew it, and let's face it, he's a football mercenary. His job is go from land to land, preparing young quarterbacks to take his job away. That's what he does.
Yeah.
You've got some Ryan Fitzpatrick talking about
this. Yeah, I've got him giving his perspective on
it. All right.
I mean, things have shifted as my career has gone on, but I know, you know, in the later years, I've accomplished so many more things than I ever thought I would. So this is all, you know, this has all just been icing on the cake for me. So it's a pretty freeing feeling for me to be able to go out there and play. And I have the responsibilities of leading a football team and doing all those things, but I also am on borrowed time, you know, and this is, I'm not even supposed to be here in terms of the career that was written for me versus the career that I've actually had. So I can kind of play freely out there and enjoy myself and have fun and try to lift my teammates up. And that's been a huge part of the experience for me is the joy that I get on the football field and the joy that I get every single team that I've been on, whether it's been for a year or 4 years, just those relationships that I've been able to forge and how much fun we've had on the field together.
Now, here's what I'll say, and I know everyone's saying, well, Ryan Fitzpatrick's playing so great. Ryan Fitzpatrick's doing fine. I'm going to read you a list of the quarterbacks in the NFL that have thrown more interceptions than Ryan Fitzpatrick this season. You ready? Kirk Cousins, Carson Wentz. That's the whole list. That's the only two guys that have turned the ball over more than Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Well, remember, we talked about it last week. It's like when he plays well, they win.
Yeah.
He's and when he doesn't, they lose.
And he's been good,
consistent.
He's been good compared to expectations, certainly.
He is the ultimate really good backup quarterback.
He's a
good guy. Come in and he and Tyrod Taylor, I think, if I have a good team and like I'm the Seahawks and Russell Wilson gets hurt, I'd love to have Tyrod Taylor because he'll win me a couple games. Or I'd love to have Fitzy. I don't want him for the whole season.
Or I'd love to have Andy Dalton.
Don't give up on Andy yet. Don't give up on him yet.
I think Andy Dalton behind that offensive line, it might as well be me back there, honestly.
Yeah. He doesn't have the mobility he used to have. He actually could move a little bit for the early part of his career. He can't really do that anymore, and that's not a good thing when you've got you blocking for him.
Yeah. Ain't good.
So,
also doesn't know how to dial up protection when they send Buda Baker literally sprinting at him from 15 yards away.
So that was almost like he's in slow motion. That guy's going to kill me, isn't he? Okay.
But he is 7th in the league in QBR.
From one game?
No, for like 7th from in the league.
Who?
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Fitzy, yeah. Yeah, he's well, that's because we were kind of going over that.
Rodgers, Mahomes, Allen, Tannehill, Russell Wilson, Derek Carr, Ryan Fitzpatrick.
One of these things is not like the other.
Behind him, Drew Brees, Lamar Jackson, Kyler Murray, Dak Prescott. Like, Ryan Fitzpatrick's in the middle of some pretty good names.
Well, but we talked about that. His high games were really good.
Yeah.
And it's just his bad ones were pretty mediocre to low. But, yeah, I think
that's what Kyler Murray's dealt with as well. And Baker Mayfield, for that matter. You know, he's had some really good games and he's had some oof games.
Yeah, I think the difference is you kind of, by this stage of his career, you don't expect Baker Mayfield to be this bad. Because his bad, they can't win with that. Especially when we talk about, can you win against a good team? They need him to play really well. But, I mean, he's the ultimate feaster, man. They beat up on bad teams, and he eats. And then when they play the good teams, he throws picks. He can't handle pressure, and they lose the game. And they've got enough talent there now where that shouldn't be the case anymore.
But let's also remember, that team is 4-2. Their two losses are at Baltimore and at Pittsburgh, which who are we faulting for that? I mean, that's a game that the Chiefs could lose those two games, and we'd be like, well,
yeah,
good losses.
The Chiefs wouldn't have got – no, you wouldn't have called that a good loss when you score one touchdown and get blown out.
No, not ideal. But they beat the Colts. You know, I'm assuming they're going to beat the Bengals this week. I mean, that team could be 5-2. And I'm no Baker Mayfield fan, I've told you. And basically, the key to beating Baker Mayfield is the same as it's been for the last several years. You put pressure on Baker Mayfield, he's going to give the ball away almost every time. And the two games that they lost and lost badly, that's what those teams did.
Yeah, and I also think that the Nick Chubb injury is catching up with him a little bit, because Kareem Hunt's a good back, but they don't have a lot behind him, and he can't carry the load the way that Chubb does, and I think that hurts him as well. I think they're a better football team, but they're not anywhere near on the level of those two teams right now, and it's because their quarterback can't win those games. He can beat up on everybody else, but he doesn't, and it's kind of the same thing we're saying about Josh Allen. You know, you need to play an elite game to beat those guys.
Yep.
And you weren't good enough. All right, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. And, guys, I got to tell you about Harry's Razors, and I've got a nice clean shave again today, all thanks to Harry's. They've got new, sharper blades, and they're as low as $2 each. And they're going to give you a really cool opportunity here. You can pick them up at any of the stores now, but if you shop online, you can get a trial set for just $3 when you use code KFNC at checkout at harrys.com. And guess what? They've got 100% quality guarantee. So if you don't like it, you can have your $3 back. But you're going to like it. And once I switched, I haven't gone back to anything else. And I won't. I mean, I love Harry's. It's convenient. I get them delivered right there to my house. And you can get Harry's sharpest blades ever in big box drug and grocery stores near you. Just head on over to the grooming aisle. And if you like to shop online, Harry's has a great offer just for the Blitzers. New customers can get a Harry's trial set for just $3 with code KFNC at harrys.com. That includes a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Don't forget to use KFNC at checkout and give Harry's sharper blades a try. Harry's.com, KFNC.
This is Ed Tuttle Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.